Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Let's dive into a complicated topic that a lot of trans people struggle with, myself included. We're talking sexuality is not gender, but also bows. They're related, trust me. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the lady whose sexuality and gender is right up my alley, Susan Bridges.
Hello! That sounds personal.
It's a little bit personal. Our guest this week is Shannon T.L. Kearns, a former fundamentalist who became the first openly transgender man ordained to the old Catholic priesthood. He is an ordained priest, a playwright, and a theologian. He is the co-founder of QueerTheology.com, and his first book, In the Margins, A Transgender Man's Journey with Scripture, is published by Eerdmans Books. He has two books forthcoming, No One Taught Me How to Be a Man, What a Trans Man's Experience Reveals About Masculinity from Broadleaf, and Come and See a Youth Devotional from Hotter Faith. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Okay, so the big question that I have for you, and I suspect this is something that you get asked a lot, but what exactly is it like being a Catholic priest as a trans man? I'm not Catholic, but that strikes me as difficult.
Yeah, so the first thing to share with folks is that I'm part of the old Catholic Church, which is not in communion with Rome. So they are an independent Catholic group. They started in the 1700s in the Netherlands. They ordain women and trans folks and queer folks and people who are married, partnered, and divorced. They came to the U.S. about 200 years ago when some rogue bishops came over here from Europe and started ordaining people, which I kind of love.
that's pretty cool,
part of the history. Yeah. So it looks like if you were to go to an old Catholic mass, it would look very similar to the Roman Catholic mass, but we're not affiliated with Rome.
Okay. So has your experience with it then been generally like very welcoming, and or have you faced any barriers?
No, it's been super, super welcoming. I think the hardest part is the old Catholic Church in the U.S. is kind of, let's say, creatively organized. And so the organization is sometimes tricky to deal with. But almost all of the folks involved in the old Catholic Church are, you know, really progressive, justice-oriented folks who care about ministering to folks who have often felt excluded or pushed out by the Roman Church and other churches.
That's really cool, because I know I've got a lot of trans friends who are Christian or religious in other religions, and they face a lot of barriers from their own churches where they're not even accepted there, or they feel pushed out of their own faith. And so I think it's really great that something like that is out there. I didn't even know, as a non-Christian and non-Catholic, that something like that existed. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's been really cool to be a part of. And, you know, I think the tricky thing with a lot of churches is that even if they want to be accepting, they haven't done their homework on trans folks.
Yeah.
Or you know, they went through a process of becoming affirming in the 90s and haven't done any work since. And so it's tough, right? Like, you, in order to really work in solidarity with trans folks and with other marginalized communities, like, you got to do your work and you got to stay up to date on language and on the things that are facing those communities. And so it's definitely tough sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, so for you, what has been the best thing about transitioning?
Oh, man. There's been so many good things. You know, I came out a little bit late in life. It was in my 20s, which for me felt late.
Sure. And I think we all feel late whatever time it is. We're like, why did you do this 10 years ago?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the thing that I was expecting when I transitioned, I was like expecting that it was going to help me feel better about my body. And that has absolutely been the case. The thing that I didn't expect, but that has been such a blessing, is that I didn't think it was gonna reignite my faith. And it really did. For me, coming home to my body allowed me to inhabit my faith in a new way. And that was really, really special. I think the other thing is that it deepened my relationships in a way that I hadn't been expecting. That I hadn't realized that I was like holding people at arm's length
Yeah.
because I was holding myself at arm's length, and that letting down those barriers and becoming myself allowed me to like let other people in. And that has just been such a gift.
Yeah, that's something I very much experienced too, that I kind of described as being like you would go to dinner with your friends, but they can't really see you. It's like you're behind this 6 foot concrete wall separating you from the people that you love and care about because you just can't get close to them because you feel so awful and bad and messed up. And so yeah, it's changed so much of relationships for me, and I feel like I can connect with people so much deeper than I could before.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so on the flip side of that, what has been one of the worst and most difficult parts of transitioning for you?
Yeah, I think that, dealing with family has been difficult.
Yeah.
My family is still not on board, and it's been many, many years now, and so
Oh, I'm sorry.
that's
That's
been
hard.
difficult. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. And I think, the amount of vitriol in some faith spaces, and also like from faith-based people on the interwebs, has
Yeah.
been a lot and pretty relentless. And so like that has been difficult. And then, I think the other piece is like learning how to navigate men's only spaces
Sure.
and figuring out like what that looks like and how to do that safely and wanting to be in those spaces, but also like not knowing if I'm welcome in those spaces. And men's bathrooms are disgusting, right? All of those things have
Yeah.
been a part of, have been an unfortunate part of the process.
Yeah, the first time I was in an all-woman space, I had that same sort of feeling, and I was wondering for you if it was difficult to navigate from the other side as a trans man. How have you found acceptance from cis men? Has it been okay, like in all men's spaces?
Yeah, it's definitely tricky, right? And I feel like there's a sense of, I'm mostly a passing trans guy, and I don't love that language, but
Sure.
it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I think that like I always have a sense of I am welcome, but it's like contingent on people not knowing sometimes.
Sure.
And yet, at the same time, I do have a bunch of cis male friends who are lovely and absolutely welcoming and welcome me into their spaces. But I'm still, even, 15 years into transition, I feel like I'm still learning how to navigate those spaces. And I think that often masculine spaces and conversations about masculinity are just so fraught
Yeah.
that figuring out how to navigate that is complicated too. I don't know if that entirely answers your question, but
It does.
just
It
been
does. I
things.
was just wondering about it from the other perspective because I've had really great experiences with it, but also I feel like I'm not really passing so much, especially in a group of cis women where I'm like a foot taller than all of them. And so you always do feel a little bit on the outside, even though you're accepted. And so yeah, it's a weird thing to navigate for sure. Okay, so before we move on, why don't you let folks know where they can find you online if they'd like to look you up after listening?
Yes, so I am on all of the social medias at Shannon TL Kearns, and Kearns is spelled KEARNS. So that's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, although I do TikTok very badly because I am an elder millennial or a Gen Xer, depending on where you break that generation. And I also have a website, shannontlkearns.com, and then my work with around theology is at queertheology.com.
All right, let's dive into this week's topics. Many times I've said that understanding my own transness was like trying to untie a giant knot because it touched and affected so many areas of my life that making sense of it all involved trying to see all the ways in which aspects of my life intertwined. And a big part of that knot was disentangling my sexuality from my gender in ways that people who are cisgender and heterosexual probably never have to think about. Not that I'm saying coming to terms with being anything other than straight is always easy for cis people.
I mean, and let's face it, cis people are pretty confused by it, the whole issue themselves.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't get it.
I
And
know.
like, try, just try a little bit, just try a little. You can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah. But the difficulty can be compounded when you're trans, especially when you're trans and are attracted to your own gender. In terms of my own sexuality, I've always been attracted to women and non-binary people. I am a disaster lesbian through and through. Guys have never done much for me, although Ewan McGregor in Moulin Rouge could always get it. But I've always been able to say, hey, that's a good-looking guy. I can find men attractive and good-looking, but I'm not attracted to them, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yes. Okay. You want to elaborate on that?
There's like some men who are like, you are very attractive and I could never have sex with you and for a variety of reasons. But like, I'm like, that is a nice looking man.
Sure. Okay. And you're bi, so that's...
Technically, yes.
Technically.
Yeah.
And yes, I do feel toxic masculinity too often prohibits men from admitting things like that, which is pretty sad. And that's one of the sad parts of quote unquote losing the false cis straight man version of myself, because we need more men willing to break that cycle. So if you're a dude, hey, subvert and deny toxic masculinity every chance you get, will ya? Society needs a lot more of that. You deserve better. And the more of you that break out of that mindset, the more cis guys around you will be inspired to do the same. This is how you change the world. You be vulnerable, be open, you feel things, you be human. In any case, that's where my sexuality contributed to making things difficult. How could I see a woman and be attracted to her, but also just as badly want to be her? I don't know, but it certainly happened, and it's something unique to trans people pre-transition. For the longest time, I thought that was just part of being attracted to someone. Ha ha! Oh, no. You mean every guy who sees a pretty lady does not also want to be her? What? Are you sure? No, that can't be right, because that would mean, oh, well, here I am. So what was your experience with that, Shannon? Did your sexuality in any way complicate the discovery or acceptance of your transness?
I think so. I think for me, I was attracted to both men and women, although primarily attracted to women. That's been my journey. But I think the trickiest thing for me was feeling like when I was dating men, which was very brief in many situations, but was a feeling of like, something about it didn't feel right, even though I was attracted to them. And I realized later that it was because they were treating me like a woman. And so it wasn't that I wasn't attracted to men. It was that I wasn't attracted to being in a relationship with a man as a woman.
Sure.
So it took me a while to figure out like, oh no, I actually am attracted to men. It's just like, we had a weird dynamic before my transition. And so that was kind of like an interesting wrinkle that I had to, it took a long time to unpack. Like, what is it about this that doesn't feel right? Cause like, I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, I am attracted to you, but like now we're on a date and this feels very wrong. But yeah, like, what is that? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's gotta even be tough for completely straight trans people, because obviously pre-transition you think that you're gay, and then so that's like a complete shift of your view of yourself in terms of your sexuality with your gender. So I don't think there's any way for a trans person where it doesn't affect you in some way during transition, because you approach it and are treated within relationships so differently, as you said, on the other side. So yeah, it's a weird complex thing.
Yeah. And my experience, like coming out, I came out as trans while in a relationship with a woman, and we were part of the queer community. And that shift of going from being seen as a queer couple to being seen as a straight couple.
Oh, wow.
Was really, really difficult. And eventually, I think, was the thing that ended our relationship, because she was like, I feel invisible now. And it's like, that wasn't anyone's fault, right? But that was just kind of how we were perceived. And that became really difficult. And so that losing of queer identity and being in a lot of ways moved out of the lesbian community was a tricky part of my early transition, for sure.
That's like the exact opposite of what happened to us, because we were married before I came out and transitioned. And so we went from being an apparent cishet couple in public and having no links or participation in the queer community because of how we appeared.
And even experiences where we felt excluded from it because we appeared to be straight.
Right. And cis. And so now when we go out, we look like a lesbian couple, and it's entirely
now that we're hard carrying queer.
Yeah. So we get embraced by the queer community who ignored us kind of before.
Yeah, we're totally ignored by
it. It's such a shift.
It's just straight.
It's very interesting to hear you from the other side of that. Yeah. That's really fascinating. Okay, so for me, which one was it? Was it just that I was attracted to women or just that I wanted to be one? Obviously, if you listen to this show for any length of time, you know I'm a total transbian, and the answer is both. But I had no frame of reference for that. I grew up believing I was a boy and was quote unquote supposed to be attracted to girls. Ugh. Once I got older and thought about it more, I wasn't sure if I was attracted to guys or not. For a while, I thought maybe I was. Turns out what I'm attracted to is femininity. I don't think that's the right word to use here, but words fail us in a lot of these discussions. But that doesn't mean only like high femme or anything, because I can also be attracted to butch and androgynous ladies. And it's not that I don't find it enjoyable to look at certain parts of a woman's anatomy, but that's not the parts you think. For me, it's always, always, always been about faces. It's what I love about people most and what I find most attractive about the people I'm attracted to. In fact, it's what I most needed to change from transition, as my pre-transition face was a huge source of dysphoria for me. You can learn more about that in the Trans Tuesday on Gender Dysphoria, episode 59 of this show, and in the Trans Tuesday on Photos and Reflections and Why They Can Be So Tough for Many Trans People, which you can find at tillystranstuesdays.com. How has that issue been for you, Shannon, with faces? Did you have dysphoria? Were Photos and Reflections really tough for you?
No, I'm actually one of those weird trans folks that, like, I'm totally fine with old photos.
Okay.
And I think part of it, and it isn't that I don't have dysphoria around it, because I definitely do. But there was a sense for me of doing a lot of work to really reclaim that young me and integrate that journey into my journey now.
Sure.
And so I share a lot of those photos. I was also a performer all through my life. And so I have all of these performance photos. And so, like, that feels important to me to reclaim and to continue to share and to share these stories. And I always try to share them with the caveat that, like, not everyone is cool with this, but, like, this is
Yeah.
my journey and I feel okay about having these pictures. And I also need to say that I have looked like a 13-year-old boy, like, since I was 13. So, like, I was definitely one of those kids that was in a baseball cap and baggy clothes, like, as soon as I hit puberty. And so
Me
I
too.
think that changes it a little bit for me too.
Yeah, and I think it is a journey and a process for a lot of people, because I know when I first came out, I couldn't stand, like, trans people have to post timeline pictures and look at me through transition. And I couldn't do that for a while because I couldn't stand to see the old photos of me. And now they don't bother me anymore. I've gotten far enough on. I'm not seeking them out. I don't want to look at them, but they don't hurt me the way that they used to. So I think it's a thing that we all sort of adjust to over time. But that's really, really interesting. I don't think I've really talked to another trans person that was as okay with their old photos as you seem to be. So that's a fascinating experience. Okay, so I have found that I can be attracted to some men in drag. Not all of them, but sometimes it happens. But never once does what's between their legs or their secondary sex characteristics come into the equation whatsoever. I don't really know how to parse that. Is there a word for that? I'm not sure there is, and I'm not sure I care, and I'm not sure that it matters. I'm attracted to faces and to people as a whole, and I could care less what body parts they have or don't have. That's not what makes a woman or a man, is it? No. You only believe that if you're a reductive bigot. And for more on where that line of thinking came from, see the Trans Tuesday on Transmedicalism, episode 60 of this podcast. And I'll note here that in order to transition, you used to have to be gay prior to transition and straight after, aka for me as a trans woman, I'd have had to be attracted to men so that by transitioning, I'd be a straight trans woman who had to pass as cis, so that I'd be upholding the compulsory cisgender heterosexuality of society. There was no path for we transbians or gay trans men to medically transition just a few decades ago. Now listen, it's fine if you're attracted to or not attracted to certain body features. We like what we like. But the entire goal of feminism and gender equality is decoupling the idea of gender as being defined by genitalia. If you're not willing to do that, that's absolutely where you have to start. But oh, goodness, did it confuse me, a little kid who was told they were a boy and raised to be a boy and to believe nothing other than being straight existed. BT dubs, my mom kept teasing me about having a girlfriend anytime I tried to make friends with a girl or would ask if they were my girlfriend, even when I was little. And all I was trying to do at the time was learn about girls that I felt a deep connection to but didn't know why. The cis-hetero compulsory push is strong in our society, even as little kids. she's going to break a lot of boys' hearts and he's going to make such a good husband someday and on and like what the actual heck is treated as normal. For more on just how compulsory cisgender heterosexuality is in our society and how it's forced upon kids and reinforced at every turn, see the Trans Tuesday on Gendered Childhoods in episode 50. But if you said that about two little girls or two little boys, or if you actually waited for your kid to figure out their gender on their own first, people accuse you of grooming. They can't see that's what they're already doing by forcing cisgender heterosexuality on kids. The cis binary matrix is insidious. Did you run into a lot of that growing up as a kid, Shannon, the compulsory cisgender heterosexuality? Did you feel like it was forced on you all the time?
Absolutely. And, you know, growing up in Christian fundamentalism, like gender essentialism is massive and huge. And there was so many things that our church did that were like separated by gender.
Yeah.
And so spent a lot of time in gender segregated spaces and being told what I could and couldn't do because of my gender.
Yeah.
And I was always a kid that was pushing back against that and was chafing against those rules. And so it became a really weird dynamic. I was also given a lot of freedom, though, at home. Like, at home, I could do kind of whatever I wanted. I could play. So I had, like, Jaws and action figures and all of those things, especially as a kid. That was fine. But that was not okay at church or, like, out in the world. And then when I hit puberty, I was expected to kind of fall in line, right? Like, now is the time.
Sure.
You're done playing with action figures. You're done with the baseball caps. Like, now you need to be a girl and head on your feminine way. And I couldn't. I was a failed girl at every turn, which got me into a lot of trouble in all of my religious upbringing. But yeah, it was really tricky. And in the Christian world that I was in, like, people got married super young, right? Yeah. Had kids super young. So I'm in my 40s now, and folks that I went to college with, like, now have college graduates already, which I just can't even imagine having kids that old.
Yeah. Do you think that contributed in any way to the difficulty of figuring out that you were trans, or did it maybe help because you felt it was so wrong from so early? Because for me, I wasn't ever allowed any access to quote unquote girly things as a kid. I wasn't allowed to play with dolls or have longer hair or anything like that. So for me, it sort of kept me apart from my transness. I always felt attracted to those things that I didn't know why, and I couldn't figure it out. I didn't have that space. But since you did that help you? Did it make things more complicated or confusing?
I think it made things more complicated.
Yeah.
And I think part of that too is also, I didn't have any language, right? Like, there was no conversation about lesbian and gay folks, even.
Right. Yeah.
Trans folks. I don't know that I knew trans people existed probably until I was in my 20s, right?
Yeah, same.
And so I had this sense of, like, I am not like everyone else around me.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that is. And then I also deeply had a sense of, people don't like that I'm not like everyone else around me. And that is not okay. And so that was a really tough thing to figure out. And then I assumed, when I started to figure out I was attracted primarily to women, I was like, oh, okay, it must be this, like, gay piece. And then I came out as gay and I was like, oh, nope, something is still not,
That's still not it. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel better. Like, I feel better in this world and with this language, but, like, something is still not clicking for me. And then it was my partner at the time. He was like, do you think you might be trans? And I was like, absolutely not. I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
I cannot go down that road. This is not going to happen for me. But then, of course, like, once those words were spoken, it was like, oh shit. Right. Like, then I started to really unpack things and became upset. Like, I started reading all of these books and memoirs, and then it was like, oh yeah, this is it. Like, this is the language that I've been searching for since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that made it complicated for me is that, like, as a kid, I did love playing with dolls, right? I did love playing teacher and school and doing quote unquote feminine things. And so, and I didn't, like, I don't remember telling people that I was a boy, right? So the narrative of, like, I've always known.
Yeah.
I think also kept me from claiming my transness because I was like, that
Sure.
wasn't my experience. Maybe could it have been my experience if I had known trans people existed? Maybe, but like it wasn't. And so having to unpack and parse all of that, I think also was really complicated. And trying to figure out like, how do I claim this identity when someone else could create a narrative of my life pointing to all of these different things, right? And say like, no, you're
Yeah.
not really trans.
Yeah. I had a lot of the same similar stuff because like I did like playing with action figures and I liked sports, but like those aren't girly things, so I must be, that's not right. And that's why I for a while thought maybe I was also attracted to men. And I was like, well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm like bi or something. And I sat with that for like a year in high school thinking I was, and I'm like, no, that's not it. That wasn't, like you said, that's not quite right. That's not the thing. So yeah. It's hard to figure
Yeah.
this stuff out.
Yeah. And I think this idea that there's like one way to be trans, right? I think we're getting better at getting rid of
Yeah.
that narrative, but there is still this kind of thing of like, if you can't point to this in your childhood or whatever. And I think that goes back to the medicalism
Yeah, the
of our
transmedicalism.
community and
Yeah.
how we've learned to tell these narratives so that we can get access to the care that we need.
Right.
But I think it does complicate things for people who are like reading what's been published. And are like, what? But that's not my story. That's why I'm
Yeah.
so glad that like the internet exists in a way now that
Yeah.
it didn't when I was a kid, because now we can see lots of different narratives of people claiming their transness and figuring it out and how they figured it out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's made a huge difference. I think that's part of the reason you're seeing such a surge of people realizing they're trans now is because the access to other trans people and that information is so much easier to find. And, if we can see it, we're like, hey, that's us too. So, yeah. Okay, so here's a pretty good example of how difficult all of this made things for me. For the entire time we've been married and knew each other before that, I've tried to get my lovely wife, Susan, here to wear bows in her hair. Bows, bows, bows. I love them. I think she looks great in them. I think most ladies do. Are you wearing a bow of any kind? I am over here admiring you and cheering you on forever. But you can see where this is going, right? Too bad that I couldn't. I wanted to be the one wearing bows, but I couldn't identify that for a long time. Susan humored me because she is a saint, but they were never really her thing, which is fine.
As time went on, I humored you less and less.
Yeah.
And then when you transitioned, I gave you all the
I'm
bows.
getting to that. You're just jumping ahead. Okay, but my own desire to be on the outside, who I was on the inside, got mixed up with the things I like to see and the people I'm attracted to. And after I began to transition, Susan gave me all her bows, as she just told you, yes, which honestly, I suppose she'd just been holding for me for all this time. And in fact, you can see one of them in the photos posted in the Google Doc version of this topic at TillysTransTuesdays.com. This is not to say that I get attracted to myself when I have makeup on and a bow in my hair or anything. Ew. I like to wear bows, but I also still dig seeing them on ladies I'm attracted to and even ladies I'm not attracted to. So good luck analyzing that, I guess.
And that's definitely a transphobic talking point, just so people know that you're attracted to yourself.
Oh, the autogynephilia thing. No, that's debunked nonsense.
It's absolute nonsense. So
Yes.
if you've heard that, you've been listening to bad
Oh,
people.
your favorite song.
Okay.
For more on how the signs were always there that we were trans, even if we couldn't recognize them, see the Trans Tuesday on the topic wherein I completely embarrassed myself to the entire world. That was episode 6 of this show. And for more on how discovering my own childhood red bow, which you can again see in the Google Doc version of this topic, is perhaps my most treasured possession, see the Trans Tuesday on the past and why it haunts us, way back as the second episode of this show. How much of my desire to wear bows and enjoyment of seeing other ladies with them was wrapped up in being told for my entire life that I could not wear them because they were not for me? Was it just rebellion against sexist societal standards? And if so, how did that get wrapped up into who I'm attracted to and who I am and wanted to be? I don't have any good answers here. Sexuality and gender are complicated, and this definitely doesn't make them any less so. But the bottom line here is that so much of discovering I'm transgender was wrestling with things like this for years and trying to make sense of it. When you compound even this one difficult issue with every other aspect that's just as difficult to untangle, if not even more so, maybe you can see why it took me so long to figure out. You have to try to undo all the damage society's done to you leading up to that point. Okay, Shannon, I wanted to ask you if you encountered anything like this where there were things or clothes that you liked that were typically considered quote unquote for men, and that like confused you because you wanted them for yourself, but you were also attracted to it on other men.
Yeah, I don't think I much had quite the same experience of that. And again, I was allowed to wear, by fighting for it, boys' clothes like pretty early. And so I think that you know, that's definitely an example of how like people who are presumed female are allowed more leeway in their gender expression.
Sure.
Which I think is like, we that's a whole, probably another episode.
It is. Yeah. The whole right? Masculinity is seen as a good. So it's okay if you want to be a little masculine, but femininity is seen as, you know, detrimental. And so, yeah, that's our society for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really weird though that I was like, people definitely had an issue with the fact that I dress masculine, but they also, that was coupled with a sense of, I think that they could see my queerness, right? That it wasn't just about you are dressing like a tomboy. It was like, we see queerness in you and that's not okay, especially in my very conservative world. And especially coupled with like, I was a leader and outspoken and wanted to be upfront. And they were like, no, you can't do any of those things.
Yeah.
So that was always a struggle of like trying to figure out like how I fit in that world and how far I could push it and what was allowed and what wasn't.
Absolutely. I am envious of the trans people who figured it out as kids or earlier than I did, and not just because they get to live more of their lives as themselves if they have a supportive family or environment, but I think it's likely easier to figure out without as many years of societal programming to undo.
And that is one of those things that just really is irritating from the transphobic folks, is that they think that kids are undergoing some kind of peer pressure to be trans or queer. And it's like,
the reverse is what's true.
Like, society puts so much pressure on you to be straight, to be
cis.
Yeah. And it's like, that's what people want. This is why, like, suicide attempts are so high for queer kids.
Yeah.
Not because they've been pressured into it. And also, like, have you ever tried to pressure a teenager into doing anything? I don't think you have. Like, it just, I can't, it's, like, so ludicrous.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on. Like, let's be real here.
Yeah. Well, for more on the insidious ways that societal programming affects all of us, yes, all of us, see the Trans Tuesday on Implicit Queer Phobia in episode 57, and then see its even more evil sister, Internalized Transphobia, in episode 18. What I do know is that you can be cis and straight, or gay, or bi, or pan, or ace, or more, and you can be trans and straight, or gay, or bi, or pan, or ace, or more, or you can be agender, or non-binary, or anything else, and straight, or gay, or bi, or pan, or ace, or more. Thank you for being here, Shannon.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Sexuality and gender are connected, but entirely different. They're in the same general neighborhood, but have different addresses, separate and distinct, but just a short walk away. And the distance between is filled with the width and breadth of every beautiful thing humans can be. I finally found my spot as a lady who's attracted to ladies. I hope you're able to find your spot too, wherever that may be. Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The Google Doc and social media versions of this week's topic and all past topics are available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Hive, on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, at facebook.com/tillysbridges, and on Insta and Threads at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on most of those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening. That's actually, I guess, I don't know. I lost my train of thought. Okay.